buddy. Rolling like a big shot. Chevy tuned up like a NASCAR pit stop. Fresh paint job. Fresh inside. It's the outside frame in the trunk wide. All the rims big, do it ride good. Lean back, right hand on the pinewood.
Alrighty, tape your stick and tickle my dick. We are back at Get the Puck Out, presented by DeanBlundell.com. We are here. My man Kyle O'Howe is on the line with us right now today. My co-host, my partner. We are here to break down the NHL mid-season awards.
Chrissy, we got the mid-seasons at the Four Seasons.
Hell yeah, buddy. We went from Motel 8s to feeling greats. Lace up them skates and let's get into it, buddy. How are you feeling today?
Good, man. Ready to talk. We had the NHL All-Star game. Still think they need to get back to 5-on-5. We'll touch more on that later. But we're going to break down some of the awards and some of the shockers and maybe some of the things that trash, because they tried a couple things at the All-Star game, Chris, and I wasn't too pleased with it. Maybe it's just, you know, maybe I'm becoming old man yells at cloud, but it seems what they did with the accuracy shooting with that background of the net. But Chris, we're going to get into all that later. I wanted to take a second here and kind of let you, I know you were a bigger basketball fan than me.
Yeah, you got to touch on this. Obviously the whole sports world was struck with an absolute horrible tragedy. And I never am one to put celebrities or anybody on a pedestal, man, but you don't really realize the impact that these people can actually have, like not only on just the game itself, but like culture and things like that. And, you know, yesterday the heartbreaking news came out that Kobe Bryant, his daughter Gianna Maria, and seven others died in a helicopter accident. They were on their way to, I think, a game or whatever. The coach of the girls' team was on there, a parent, another player. It's just so unbelievably sad. And then you see the, you know, all the messages pour in and the videos pour in. And one of the videos that stuck with me, and I don't want to talk about this forever because it's so fucking sad, but, you know, you have to bring it up. Kobe was an icon. But, you know, he was on Jimmy Kimmel, and he said that people would come up to him in front of Gigi and say, "Hey man, you have to have a boy. You and Vanessa got to have a boy." And he's like, "My daughter's like, nah, man, she's got it." And like, he believed in her and he believed in the women's game of basketball. And like, he was such a good voice for women's sports as well, Kobe. I know that assholes like Bruce Arthur, who me and Dean both just ripped apart on DeanBlundell.com, go on over there and check out the blog, tried to grandstand on the death and bring up shit that was in his life from 13, 14 years ago that I don't even know.
It's not about that, man. It's not the time, you know? Like,
no, exactly. Like, so Bruce Arthur, you can suck
my ass.
But I mean,
you know, every shot you took in the garbage, you were yelling Kobe. That's just, you know what I mean? Like, he was just part of our generation.
Yeah, like Kyle, we were born in 1990, right? You and me were born in 1990. Yeah. So all of Michael Jordan's greatness happened 96, 97. They went back to back the early 90s, but you don't really remember, bro. No. Like for me, the guy was Kobe, bro. Like Kobe is millennial Jordan for us. Like he's millennial Jordan. And he was always a funny guy. I'm so glad that him and Shaq, remember they had like beef back in the day. Him and Shaq had like squashed that and been back to being brothers. And I truly feel sorry for the Bryant family. But let's move this back to the hockey world. Rest in peace, Kobe. No basketball player should ever wear the number 24 again. Absolute fucking legend. And yeah, man, we'll move it back to the NHL side of things here. It was the NHL All-Star Weekend. Kyle, you said it off the hop. The NHL skills competition, it's broken, man. They need to fix it. I don't know. I just did not enjoy
it. Are they trying too hard?
Yes. Yes, they're trying so hard to make like this trendy, fun game because the NBA All-Star skills competition is fun. But guess what? They stick to the basics. It's the three-point shootout. It's this. It's that. They got guys in the goddamn stands shooting pucks on the ice. Targets in the goddamn corner.
Yeah.
What are targets doing in the corner? Either put the four breakable targets up that Ray Bork used to fucking smash in four shots.
In the middle, and then a couple worthy points to the fours, and then you have these random twos tucked on. Who's shooting at that?
Like, bro, it was so dumb. It was so dumb, bro. It was the dumbest shit ever.
And that's ruined the accuracy shooting. And that's what I want to talk about, is that for whatever reason, and maybe it's just old man talking, but there was something satisfying about a player hitting a target and having it explode, or, you know, having it break, and then on to the next.
But remember, you know, Kyle, like, remember sometimes
crossbar or whatever, you mean, that's not counting. And some of these hits that were being accepted and counted, I know Huberto had the one where he missed by 6 inches in it. Target started to disappear as if he hit it. It's broken. Why would we do that? It doesn't make any sense.
Kyle, I wanted to bring this up. When you brought up the targets exploding, remember when it would be like a player would get the corner of it, but the whole target wouldn't break? But as long as just a little piece broke, bro, remember when someone would hit that? You'd be like, oh, he got it. He got it. Like, that was fun. They've sucked the fun right out of the accuracy shooting. Gary Bettman, stop worrying about the goddamn Olympics and sabotaging that, you little troll bastard. And let's sit down and fix this, bro. We'll call the boys down here at Get the Puck Out, presented by DeanBlundell.com, and we can fix. Me and you can do it, Kyle. We'll fix the All-Star Game for $3.99.
I think they just had the wrong hockey minds looking at this and trying to connect with the younger generation, and everything's technology based. And I get that. And you know what I mean? It is going to evolve, but it just seems like everything they try fails. You know, football had their Pro Bowl and they're kind of fun with it. They had this random dodgeball game and it was great. It was fantastic.
Yeah, how great was dodgeball, dude?
And then Jarvis the NHL tries something and it's just a complete, you know, misrepresentation of the sport. And it just seems like they're just trying way too hard to make something out of nothing.
Exactly, man.
Stick to the basics.
Did you see Jarvis Landry in that dodgeball game too?
That was amazing.
Bro, they were down like 4-2, and then it was 2-1. Dude, I have not seen dodgeball.
Show.
Bro, I have not seen dodgeball played like that since Peter LaFleur came back and saved Average Joe's.
Dodgeball brings out the competitiveness. And
Bro. Anybody, bro. I've been on both sides. I remember, like, there was a couple years when I was a kid, and I was like a little bit of a fat kid, and I remember getting smacked around in dodgeball a little bit, and that like motivated me to become like a better athlete.
Kick last in gym class always motivates you.
Oh, yeah, man. And then, like, I became, like, you know, athletic and shit. But it was, like, dodgeball, man. That was the game where, like, that was the feats of strength, you know, growing up as a kid. But listen, NHL All-Star Weekend isn't completely broken. The skills competition wasn't that great. Although our friend Ken Bone came on and said he had a good time, and I'm glad Ken enjoyed
it. It's for the kids. I don't care.
The 3-on-3 games themselves were actually a lot of fun for me. I enjoyed them. I don't know about you, but I certainly enjoyed myself watching the games themselves, like the full-on 3-on-3 games. So we can go into that a little bit, Kyle. Right off the hop, the Atlantic Division took on the Metropolitan Division and dusted them 9-5. And David Pastrnak had a hat trick in that game. Anthony Duclair had a hat trick in that game. Ottawa sent Duclair. A lot of people were thinking that a few people were missing, but Duclair showed up and had a good performance. What do you like, and what would you change about, like, the format, I guess?
Well, I guess nothing if you're going to do format. The way they do it, they have the two divisions play each other interconference, and then they play the winner. But, I mean, I think the 5-on-5 game was missing. I think it was the effort that was being given with the 5-on-5. Is that it was, you know, too complacent. 3-on-3, at least for the most part, kind of speeds things up and rushes things back the other way. And you get that excitement, the 2-on-0s, the breakaways, what everyone wants to see, instead of a shutdown block shots, you know, a greedy game like that. That's not what they're trying to display. So I get the move to 3-on-3. It just, for whatever reason, I don't know, something seems missing. And I found myself kind of tuning out more than tuning in. I was watching the All-Star game, the skills competition a lot more than the game, I found.
Yeah, definitely. It was hard to, like, you know, when I watch the Bruins games, I only have my phone with me in case I want to tweet out what happened. I try to do that during the game. But yeah, exactly. During the All-Star game, I still was on my phone, like, checking messages, which I would never do. But it came down to the Pacific Division and the Atlantic Division, and the old Max Pacioretty train, Elias Patterson, Leon Draisaitl, Matthew Tkachuk. They were too much for Mitch Marner, David Pastrnak and the gang. They lost 5-4. MVP of All-Star Weekend was David Pastrnak. And I mean, what a likable guy he is. And I'm not just saying that as a Bruins fan. He was one of the stars of the weekend. People are really starting to take a liking to that guy. And
That showed up.
Yeah, man. One of the only stars that actually gave a shit to come out and didn't just go on vacation for the week. Like, you know, seeing Victor Hedman and Pastrnak, like he was the defenseman on their pair, and we're Boston and Tampa guys. I mean, I'm not saying that David Pastrnak made Victor Hedman look a lot better than he is, Kyle, but my God, was he making him look okay out there.
He's got a couple Norrises to defend that, but moving on.
I love it. I love it. Okay, so the NHL is coming. They're right back tonight, right? We got games tonight. Yeah.
Actually, we got going back tonight. We're right back into the thick of things.
Yeah, Toronto Maple Leafs are back in action tonight, Kyle. They are currently on the outside looking in on the playoffs. Tonight they take on the Nashville Predators. We all know what a fucking disaster that team's been. They fire their coach and, you know, Laviolette's out the door. And it's weird, man. Like, that's been a weird season. And it's just been a weird how Nashville came from, like, I don't know. I just don't give them the same respect I used to, I guess. But, what do you think Toronto has to do to get back into a pole playoff position, and do you think they do it?
I think, I don't want to say a shakeup, but there has to be an addition. Kyle Dubas has to do something here to add a little bit of grit to this roster, a little bit of sandpaper, a little bit of bang. Everyone knows what they need, and either Dubas is just playing coy, saying that he doesn't need to play that style to win the way he envisions how he wants to win. But to me, it seems they need some grit. They need some sandpaper. You look at the depth last year at the St. Louis Blues, Oscar Sundqvist, Sammy Blaze. Those guys were producing, and they were hitting everything in sight.
Dude,
and
Sammy Blaze was hitting Bruins like a Mack truck in the Cup Final.
You need that. And, you know, you've seen a little fight out of Tyler Moore. You know, we seen last year he took down big old Chara. But, I mean, like, you need more of that. You need Andreas Janssen to be that. You need Kapan to be that. You need Matthews to finish checks and Nylander to get involved. And Nylander has he's silenced a lot of critics this year, and rightfully so. He's having a career year. Yeah. And everything that people were kind of judging him for and talking to him about, he's a perimeter player. You know, he's scoring from the crease. You know, he's getting more involved in the play. It's just when the play style increases in the playoffs, like it always will, it's at that point in time where he can't shy down. And you see Marner, and then they just, you know, they avoid the hits and do what they can to get out of the way. They got to get involved. And even if it's not even about taking the hit. It's you need to take the hit to be involved in the play.
Exactly.
You need to feel the flow of the game.
I get that. I get what you're saying. But one thing I want to bring up quickly here about the Leafs, Kyle, is like, for me, I know he's almost at a point of game right now, but like, you look at the back end, you see all the problems, you see they don't have a backup goalie. Did they really need John Tavares? And is John Tavares? I don't know, man. I mean, call me a Leafs hater. Call me what I am.
Move forward with it. You got to move forward on it. Nazem Kadri is...
He's a choke artist. I think he's a choke artist, John Tavares. He ain't ever won nothing. He didn't ever take the Islanders anywhere. They didn't give Austin Matthews or Morgan Riley the C, who rightfully should have had the C. I disagree with a lot that's going on with Kyle Dubas. For sure.
But I'm just saying, moving forward, you know, having Nazem Kadri as a number two, he worked. He was a good fit there. You bring in...
Fuck, he's a good player, Kadri.
He's not going to work as a third line center on that team. He had his career lows last year with the Leafs. You knew that when Babcock was trying to employ these three guys out on the ice and trying to distribute ice time, not everyone's going to be kept happy. And all three are top six players. So stuffing Kadri into that third line center role wasn't going to work, especially at that cap hit. They had to move forward.
Oh, I get it.
They made their decision with Kerfoot as that replacement. And when Spezza man in that fourth line, who kind of seems, you know what I mean? Like, and another story with Babcock was, you know, Jason Spezza was made out to look like he was useless and he was done. And, you know, under Sheldon Keefe, he looks like a man reborn. You know, he looks like a good veteran. He looks exactly what they went out and signed for a league minimum deal to help this team. And that's what he's doing.
And everyone knows Mike Babcock.
It's going to come down to that defense and how they play down the stretch. Now, good news for the Leafs is that they get Jake Muzzin back tonight. Probably their best defenseman all year. I'll come out and say that. I know Justin Hull has been a nice kind of fill-in on that third pairing, and he's eaten up the minutes without looking like a newbie out there. So good for him. And you kind of need that in your third pairing. He looks like a guy that continued to grow this with his team over the next couple of years. They don't have a lot of defensemen signed, so he's in the picture regardless. But, you know, they get Muzzin back tonight. They're still missing Morgan Riley. It's really going to come down to, is Anderson going to rebound down the stretch here? And how are these Leafs going to play? I can't believe we're talking about this. You know, it seems like such a lock that maybe not to take the division. I think that was always a little bit of out of reach. But it seemed like that second and third spot in the division were almost locked between Tampa, Toronto, and Boston, with maybe Boston, Tampa taking the division. But it seems surreal now that this can actually happen, Chris. You know, they might actually miss out on the playoffs. And what a smack to Dubas would that be. And you know,
they'd have to fire him, wouldn't they? Wouldn't they have to fire him after all that's happened, the way he's managed the cap? If the Toronto Maple Leafs with John Tavares, Austin Matthews, Willie Nylander, Mitch Marner, Tyson Barrie, Morgan Riley, if this team doesn't make the playoffs, I Kyle Dubas and everyone in the front office, if I were Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment, it would be a fucking firing squad if they didn't make the playoffs. If I was running the shit at Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment, everyone who has a
JP Morgan bailout. It's too big not to bail out.
No, I would be walking through with boxes and just packing desks, dude. Packing desks, packing chew, spitting it all over the fucking place, swearing at people, man. I would lose my mind if I was running Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment and you put out all these big-ass contracts and money.
We're talking as if it's already happened here. Let's ease up on the choke leash a little bit.
Buddy, I will pull the choke.
A lot of games left to play here.
Oh, I know there's tons of games left to play, but I'm saying, man, like, I hope that they have the same urgency it is a huge if, man, because the Florida Panthers look like they're the real deal right now. They look all right.
And this is with Bobrovsky putting up
Smoke another one, Kyle. Mediocre. There you go, you Canadian cocksucker, you.
Yeah, and if not bad, you know, Bobrovsky's been, for the most part, a disappointment. He's making $10 million in the league, and out of the 31 starters in the league, he carries probably the worst stats in the league amongst actual starters.
Yeah, man, he's done.
You know what I mean? And they still find themselves sitting third in the Atlantic, above the Leafs, comfortably in the playoff spot, winning games with Jonathan Huberdeau and Barkov, you know, kicking ass and taking names.
And, well, that's an important thing to do. If you're going to be a rock star in this world, you got to kick ass first and worry about the name second. And you know what? You know who has not been doing that, like you said, is Sergei Bobrovsky. I looked up his numbers here when you were talking about that, Kyle. He's started 36 games this year. He's 19-12-4. He has a goals against average of 3.24 and an 898 save percentage, making $10 million tax-free a year down in Florida, 41 games of the year. You get paid at home, right? Plus he plays Tampa a bunch of times. This guy, how's your ass down there in Florida, buddy? That must burn. There's no way that cheeks aren't burning.
There they are, sitting in a playoff spot. And you know what I mean? It doesn't matter what those stats look like in the regular season.
Hasn't been bad. His name's Dredger. Is that his name? Is that how you say it?
Dredger?
Darren Dreger, that asshole? No, I'm Darren Dreger, man. I heard a rumor going around Niagara about Darren Dreger going, like, there's a lot of people with that whole Akeel Thomas stuff. Did you notice how Darren Dreger was he only broke one trade at the OHL trade deadline, Kyle? Did you notice that? He broke the Akeel Thomas trade or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Even though I said that Akeel Thomas was going to the Pete's 2 days before because Joey Burke's close friend is a leaky faucet. And, Joey Burke's friend delivered with some more news, brother. The agent for Akeel Thomas and Darren Dreger worked out a deal where as soon as they knew for sure where they were going, he was going to announce it to stick it to that OHL insiders account guy. But it ended up blowing up in their face because that guy caught wind of it and then posted it before. That was the day where Dreger was trying to like oust him and stuff, man. Yeah. Darren Dreger is very shady behind the scenes, bro. I'm going to say that. He's a self-serving guy, and I'm not a big fan of Darren Dreger now that I've kind of stepped into this world and seen inside. He's one of those people that, you know, the second that Mike Babcock was...
I think there's a bit of remorse there because, and this is nothing in disrespect to the OHL insiders account, but I think it's because I don't want to say hides behind a mask. It's because
but he doesn't want people in his business, man. This guy has had
I get it. Dude, Dude, but I think to them, that's the kind of cause of the why should we trust you kind of thing.
Oh, and I get it, but dude, this guy's had threats on his life.
Yep.
He's had agents call him and be like, you fuck up this kid's money, I'm a fucking body you, dude. I had a 45-minute phone call with OHL insider guy. He's a regular-ass guy, man. I get it. Like, listen, he wants – and I even said that to him. I'm like, eventually you're going to have to put your name to this, bro. You can't hide from it forever. Like, your boss and shit at work already knows who it is. Like, they – but, dude, people have, like, doxed him and, like, called his work and been like, he's breaking trades. And luckily, his boss is like, yeah, who gives a shit? He loves it, right? Luckily. But, like, these people have actually tried
– doesn't matter, right?
Tried to screw his life, man. Yeah. Like, these people will do it. There was – man, when I got into the shit that happened with me, and we ain't even going to really go into that because it don't matter. But I'll say this. I know for a fact
Chrissy's conspiracies.
People were asking around. Man, I had people come somebody to me. Somebody cue the yeah, somebody get me my tinfoil hat. No, because someone told me. Like, these guys, like, someone asked me where you work. So I put out a tweet where I worked and who my boss was. And yeah, I
can't open information. Here you go.
And I was like, man,
see if they give a shit.
Man, I don't give a shit. Every single human in the history of time has done something bad or made a mistake. Like, you want to come after me and try to, like, pull some bullshit?
Making a mistake is what? Trying to break trades on Twitter? Like, what the fuck is that boss going to give a shit about?
No, exactly. I'm not even, dude, I'm not even talking about that. But I'm just saying in general, this whole cancel culture, yeah, people, like, I really don't give a fuck, man. I've done a ton of bad shit in my life.
Everyone
that,
has,
like,
man.
That, like, yeah, they legitimately.
You're gonna call somebody out for, like, one of the, you know, one of the worst moments.
Apologize to anyone.
Does that define them? You know, I don't know.
I don't know, man. It's a bunch of bullshit. But let's get back to something that I have a lot of fun doing down here. Kyle and I are going to do our smoking darts is one of them, buddy. Hell yeah.
Darts and breaking hearts.
Darts and breaking hearts is one of my favorite things to do. Aside from swinging big dick and firing off that big dick energy, Kyle, like we do down here at Get the Puck Out, I love a hot minute. You know what I mean? Don't you just love a hot minute? All right, guys, we're going to do a hot minute here where we have 60 seconds. And the hot minute today is actually going to be our NHL award, mid-season awards here. So we're going to fire out the mid-season awards here at the All-Star break and let you guys know kind of what we think is going on. So, Kyle, we're going to start with the awards here. You can take the first hot minute here. All right. So you got seconds. So, I mean, you can do with the 60 seconds as you will, and I'll update you through it. We're going to go through the big awards of the NHL here and give them out on Get the Puck Out, presented by DeanBlundell.com. Kyle, are you ready?
Oh, I was born ready.
All right, let's get this shit queued up. Hold on 1 second. Your time starts now, Kyle. So we have the Calder.
Well, we're going to get it out of the way. We're going to go Kale McCarr. No complaints, no arguments.
Art Ross.
McDavid.
Rocket Richard.
I can't for the life of me take Pasternak here. I'm going to go, I'm not going to say off the board, but I'm going to put a little faith in Austin Matthews.
Horrible answer. Okay, Jack Adams.
Craig Berube.
Ooh.
Vezina Trophy.
Should have won it last year. Ben Bishop.
Ben Bishop bangs. Norris Trophy.
I don't want it to be Carlson.
20 seconds.
And I was going to say Ham. Okay. Eh. Roman Josi.
Selke.
Sean Couturier.
Lady Bing.
Anyone but Matthews. No, let's go Barkov.
Sissy Award. 5 seconds. Now hurry.
McDavid.
President's Trophy.
Caps.
Stanley Cup.
Blues.
Oh, you're taking a repeat on the St. Louis Blues. That's a fucking hot take. Oh, my God.
You know, I know it's not as easy as ganking groceries, like with me and the boys. It's not easy to do a repeat, but it's just something about that team, man. They got the DNA. They got what it needs, and it's the same group. And this is kind of why, I don't know, you hear the speculations, you know, free agent at the end of the year, Pietrangelo, where is he going to go? Does he resign? Do they have the cap for him? And it's, he loves playing for Berube. And they complement each other's playing style so well. Why would he want to leave? He openly has come out and said that the way that he coaches opens up my game. Like, he loves playing for him. And I think he's going to re-sign. He's the captain there. He's just won the cup. I mean, why would this guy want to flee and run to a place as high energy and high maintenance as Toronto? He's got it made there in St. Louis.
Oh, hell yeah, man. Alex Pietrangelo bangs. He played here in Niagara. We used to watch him all the time. And one of those players that you knew just was special right off the hop. And seeing him win the Stanley Cup against the Bruins and Vince Dunn, because, you know, I'm enthralled. I go to Ice Dogs games. So do you, right? So, like, to see those guys win, it definitely took, like, I don't know if say took the sting out. It sucked. Like, losing a Game 7 in a Cup final will fuck you up emotionally when you're as invested as I am, like a goddamn fucking psycho killer maniac. But, yeah, man. Hey, I'm not surprised. So, Kyle, I am going to turn the timer back on, and I want you to run down and kind of ask me the same thing, and we'll kind of see where we are, and then we'll make sure we print it up. I'll put our predictions up in a little blog. We'll post this on DeanBlundell.com.
Fuck, that Norris one caught me off guard, man.
And, man, like, I want to let everybody know. Yeah, I want to let everybody know to follow our Twitter account at GTPO_hockey. You can follow me at CMancuso9797 on Twitter or Instagram. And Kyle, you're just at Kyle O'Howe, right?
Yep.
Okay. Well, that's awesome. So guys, if you want, you can send us your predictions after. You can do your own little version here. I'd love to see who everybody is giving out. I love seeing what people say about the awards. We're super engaging down here at Get the Puck Out. We'll invite you right into the bedroom and just let you guys watch the magic happen. We're open and transparent down here, right, Kyle?
Absolutely.
If you guys want a foyer, if you guys
minute and get Chrissy's picks in.
Yeah, let's do it. But if anybody wants to voyeur into my no, I'm just All right, here we go. We're going to – I'll tell you once the timer started. You can ask me. Here we go.
All right, we'll start the timer.
Yep, it's on.
Okay, let's go. Who's taking home the Calder?
Kale McCarr.
Copycat.
He's hot. It has to be. Leon Draisaitl.
Oh, Rocket Richard.
David Pastrnak David Pastrnak by 10 goals. 10.
Jack Adams.
Oh, Bruce Cassidy.
Okay. Wow. Oh my God. Okay, 30 seconds. Yeah, Vezina.
Ben Bishop, man. I got to go with you on that one. Bishop bangs. Okay. He's a porn star.
Don't fuck this up like I did.
John Carlson.
Okay.
Absolutely John Carlson.
Selke.
Therese Bergeron.
Shocker. Lady Bing. Soy Boy Award.
Dick David.
Okay. President's Trophy.
We're going to go with the Washington Capitals.
5 seconds. Stanley Cup.
We're going with the Vegas Golden Knights.
Damn.
Peter DeBoer, man, to get one done. He's taking his team to the cup. First season in Jersey, they went, they lost, right? Then he went with San Jose. They went, they lost. I think Petey Pinkslips, who I think is not even that great of a coach. I think Pinkslip Petey gets it done, and I think the Vegas Golden Knights win the cup, which will then, Kyle, here comes a hot take, make the league reverse the decision to make them exempt from the Seattle draft. I think the fact that they're exempt from the Seattle draft,
it's already nonsense.
Is already nonsense, but I think this will be what brings common sense back to the league, and they'll be like, yo, this team's been in the cup and won the cup. How come they don't lose a player? Fuck out of here with that bullshit.
Well, if that's the way it's got to play out for that to happen, I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing it, but what's funny about it, and I think we've talked about this at a prior time, but you know, they would be in a very valuable situation as an organization if they're still exempt from that draft. I know everyone was predicting when they were drafted, and even when I seen that team get drafted,
like, this team is fun. That for a bigger return, but like not lose someone for free, or like, dude, they
that's
could.
What I mean, but like, no one wants to get players, like Vegas hosed them, right? Yeah, so
exactly.
Teams are going to learn their lessons when Seattle comes in the league. They're not going to be as nice as they were to Vegas. But Vegas can be on the other line saying, hey, if you don't want to pay their prices, get rid of your top six guy that you can't keep to us. We'll give you something.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. They're going to be on the play table, which doesn't make any sense because they've had every advantage they could from the start.
And so, I know it's a different GM,
regardless if they win the cup or not, that's got to change. But that's a bold call, Chris.
And yeah, and I know George McPhee.
Bruce Cassidy for the Jack Adams. I mean, I knew you were a homer, but I thought
the Bruins are going to kill it down the stretch. No, they're gonna kill it down the stretch. They are close, man. I'm telling you right now, my people in Boston are telling me they are close on a deal for a winger. I think Tyler Toffoli could be on his way to Boston, Kyle, in the next week or two. I think Jeremy Lauzon was called up the other night. Ranger scouts were in the building. King scouts were in the building. They're deciding, kind of figuring out the price on Kreider. They're about to do it, man, because this team has been in a free fall. Don Sweeney ain't messing around. I heard Seabass, you know, kick his ass, Seabass, Cam Neely talking. They're not impressed, man. I think once the Bruins get one more winger on their team, just like when they grabbed Johansson last year, they're going to take off, and Bruce will end up being the coach of the year because he bangs like Johnny Sins himself, dude. That guy throws dick.
Wouldn't say throws dick, but he definitely plays with it. Which leads me to the question. You know, you're high on the Bruins horse, obviously. That's who you are, leading the charge. Chrissy, down the stretch, who wins the Atlantic? The Lightning have woke up. That's no question. They seem to be on a roll. They're looking like...
I think Tampa wins it. I think Tampa might like fucking have the best back half out of anybody, man. I think Tampa has the ability to get hot. I don't want the fucking President's Trophy near Boston. I don't even care about first place. Give me Florida. Give me Toronto. Give me anybody. Columbus. Yeah,
I'm kind of the same, man.
Boston is going to friggin' bust out the shoes and absolutely moonwalk their way through that first round matchup. Mm. I don't care.
They're not going to get lucky like they did last year. And, you know, that first round walk.
Everyone shit on me, including you. But when Pittsburgh, Washington, Toronto, Tampa Bay, all out in the first round, I said the Bruins are going to moonwalk to the Stanley Cup final. I never said they were going to win the cup. And that's how I picked up followers and shit, man. Everyone was calling me out saying you're arrogant. But it was just obvious, man, that Columbus and Carolina were not stopping that Bruins team. It wasn't happening.
I thought the Islanders maybe could have put up a different kind of fight, similar game. But
yes, that's a team that Boston struggle against. That's a team Boston would struggle against. Barry Trotz is a fucking porn star. I should have thought of him for the North because, in my opinion,
Adams.
Adams, I'm sorry.
Isn't that Penguin playing defense? Nah, dude, no disrespect. I love Trotz.
Yeah, but Trotz, Claude Julien, and Bruce Boudreau would be the ugliest first line of coach in history. Oh, buddy, we had a good time here down at Get the Puck Out, presented by DeanBlundell.com. You guys can find these episodes on any podcast network, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Tinder, fucking Bumble, anywhere you get your podcasts, as well as you can get it right on www.DeanBlundell.com. You just go on over to the podcast portion of the page. It's got a little drop-down menu. You'll see Dean Blundell Show. You'll see the Chirp with Darren Millard, the podcast.
You open up the web browser. You type in www.DeanBlundell.com. Sorry.
And boom! And you got Paul Brinton on tour. You got the Footy Show. And boom! Get the Puck Out podcast and the Paulcast. We're all there. You go on there. Click. The latest episode will be there, guys. You can check it out. Kyle, do you have anything to add before we go? Oh, I do want to mention before we go, honorable shout-out to Martin Frick in the AHL skills competition last night. He sent a fucking message to Zdeno. He let a piss missile go. He is the new mayor of Piss Missile County, Martin Frick, 109.2 miles an hour, right in front of his hometown crowd. He plays for the Ontario Reign. The game was in Ontario, California. And they have a legitimate porn star on their back end. Pardon the pun. You can watch the video on DeanBlundell.com. I threw the video up there, and it is an absolute piss.
Dude, he's got half the stick, double the dick.
Yeah, dude, half the stick and double the dick of Zdeno Chara now, man. This guy bangs for sure. Martin Frick, shout out.
What did Chara hit, 107, 106?
No, it was 108.8.
108.8, okay. 109.2. My God.
Imagine
disgusting.
Bro, and then I looked into him, right, because he's on the LA Kings. He's 26 years old, and apparently this guy lets buckets. He was in, yeah, exactly. He was around the Red Wings for a bit, but this guy can't hit the broadside of a barn. Apparently that's the problem. He never hits the net when he shoots. Everyone's like, if that shot could only hit the fucking net, Martin, like, you'd be in the NHL. He was getting shit on, but no, good for him, man. You know what? The LA Kings would have nothing to lose by calling that guy up. They absolutely stink, buddy, but we're going to sign off here, guys. Thanks for joining us here on Get the Puck Out. I want to remind everybody that if you are not running with Get the Puck Out, run from it, motherfuckers. We had a good day. We'll see you next week.